Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, who are the domestic violent extremists anyway? Tragic murder in North Dakota? Continued campus violence against our Turning Point USA chapters? We ask the question, who are the domestic violent extremists? And we finish with a question of how on earth could a sheriff from Texas go indict a sitting governor or investigate one? Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We received a lot of emails yesterday, freedom@charliekirk.com, about the five great threats that are facing a red wave coming into the midterm elections, about the five big threats, whether it be ballot mules. We talked about social media suppression. We talked about this artificial intervention on behalf of the national security apparatus to misrepresent MAGA voters. And one of the things that we talked quite a lot about, and we have been talking about, is how the left and the Democrats have been focusing nonstop on this idea of domestic violent extremists. Every time you turn on the television, they're talking about domestic violent extremists. We watch MSNBC, so you don't have to. So when they talk about domestic violent extremists, who exactly are they talking about? Well, they're trying to create a caricature. They're trying to create an idea that half the country is ready to start and foment a civil war. But when we look at the news, especially in the last couple of days, you have to ask the question, who is exactly committing the acts of domestic violent extremism? Who's in charge? Who's the one actually doing domestic violent extremism? And when you see the amount of damage that Democrats are doing widespread under this idea of domestic violent extremism, it's very clear that they don't mean domestic violent extremism at all. What they're really trying to say is that if you're a Republican, therefore, we must be able to use the national security apparatus against you. The Democrats' new one-liner that they love using on television is domestic violent extremism. I want to ask you, did you hear about the incident of somebody who hunted down a teenager based on their political views? Do you think you would have heard about the story of a 41-year-old man who got in a car and hunted down an 18-year-old if that 18-year-old was a black Democrat? Do you think that you would have heard about that story? Do you think that you would be getting push notifications from Apple News, front page of CNN.com? Do you think that it would be something that would probably get denunciations from every major political leader? This is what I always laugh when people say, do you denounce this? Like, of course I denounce this. When was the last time Democrats were put on notice to denounce, I don't know, for example, the Waukesha mass murderer in the Christmas parade of the black terrorist that did that? That kind of disappeared in the news cycle. Or how about the congressional baseball shooting that nearly killed Steve Scalise? No, it's only in situations when conservatives or people that pretend to be conservatives, maybe infiltrated by the FBI, do anything remotely uncharacteristic or illegal, it immediately gets into the news cycle. And so we are being lectured nonstop by the people in the activist press about domestic violent extremism. They're talking about it on cable television. They're talking about it in congressional hearings. They're talking about it as justification to expand and to strengthen the Patriot Act and this entire national security leviathan. We're being told that the Trump movement endorses political violence. In fact, Jamie Raskin went on television and was like, well, they're fascists because they support political violence. We do not support political violence. But while we're on the topic, why don't we talk about how Democrats support political violence? In 2020, they openly supported and endorsed it, but it's not just then. In the last couple days, there are three examples that if these were conducted by conservatives, they would be used by the FBI, no doubt, to go spy, infiltrate, and arrest conservatives. The first instance, our Turning Point USA chapter at University of New Mexico, hosting Tommy Lahren. The event goes awry because domestic violent extremists, left-wing student Democrats, start assaulting other students and try to forcibly enter the event, and the event gets canceled. I want you to imagine if a bunch of Black Lives Matter lesbian and gay activists were having a meeting and Make America Great Again hat-wearing white supporters tried to bar down a door and assault people and derail a BLM event. Do you think you would have heard about that story? That's number one. Number two, last evening at a Turning Point USA event at the University of Iowa, Benny Johnson, talking to one of our Turning Point USA chapters, our many chapters across the country, was presenting all about memes. He was talking about memes. And here's the video. Domestic violent extremist, a domestic terrorist who is a left-wing Democrat, comes and kicks the projector and destroys the entire presentation. He was arrested for this. Play cut 52. He goes right up to the front of the speech Benny is giving and literally kicks the projector screen against the wall, destroying the projector. He got arrested for that. Could you imagine if a Make America Great Again hat-wearing Christian would have done that to a BLM meeting on campus? It would be the top news story. But in those two situations, you know what the left would always say? Well, nobody died. Nobody died, so it's not that big of a deal. Well, let me tell you about the latest story that is getting no coverage from the mainstream press, that is getting completely and totally intentionally ignored. This story is a tragic story. What we are seeing, what happened in North Dakota, was nothing more than a political hate crime. Kaylor Ellingson, an 18-year-old, Kaylor Ellingson was a conservative and a Republican. Kaylor Ellingson loved the country. Kaylor Ellingson got in some sort of a dispute with a 41-year-old by the name of Shannon Brandt. Shannon Brandt hated this young man so much, he got in his car and executed a political murder. I'm reading from the Grand Forks Herald. According to court papers, it was not an accident, but apparently a politically motivated attack. In the fatal pedestrian incident happened on Sunday morning, September 18th, in McHenry, North Dakota, about 120 miles northwest of Fargo and 54 miles north of Jamestown. Prosecutors allege moments before he killed 18-year-old Kaylor Ellingson, he called his mom to come rescue him because the 41-year-old Shannon Brandt was chasing him in the streets of McHenry, where the street dance had just wrapped up. By the time she got there, her son was dead. Brandt was officially charged Monday with vehicular homicide and leaving the scene of a deadly accident. Yeah, how about political hate crimes? You guys going to charge for that? Is the DOJ going to open an investigation into this? He was the one who called 911 to report the crash. He says he did this because of his political views. Play cut 49.
This is 41-year-old Shannon Brandt. He's charged with vehicular homicide after he chased down and ran over an 18-year-old with his SUV. But this was no ordinary hit and run. Brandt admits to killing Ellingson over a political dispute that allegedly occurred during a local street dance. According to court documents, Brandt told a dispatcher that he killed the teenager because he was, quote, part of a Republican extremist group, and he was afraid they were coming to get him.
Part of a Republican extremist group. So is that a direct connection between Joe Biden's semi-fascist speech and a political assassination? Yes. So Joe Biden goes and waves his hands and talks about MAGA extremism, and MAGA teenagers get hunted down in the streets and get politically assassinated. Brandt is out on $50,000 bond right now because he said, I have to go home to my family. This man should be charged on every single thing the North Dakota Penal Code has immediately. Why they let him out on bond? This guy's out right now. He politically murdered and assassinated an 18-year-old because of views he did not like. And the young 18-year-old twice called his mom saying, I'm about to be murdered by a man in the car. And he admits, the killer admits he did this for political purposes. Are you hearing any of this on CNN.com? No, CNN.com says New York AG lawsuit against Trump and some of his children. Zelensky, Putin's troops move is no surprise. Total blackout from CNN, total blackout from MSNBC. So you politically assassinate a young 18-year-old, it's perfectly acceptable. Who are the domestic violent extremists exactly? It sure seems that the people who love political violence is the American left, yet they come and wave their fists calling us fascists. And then they're going to use the FBI and the DOJ to come after us because we're fascists. Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone, just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group. You know, some people say, oh, Charlie, that's only one political assassination. Wait, we talked about George Floyd for a couple months. That was just one death. It was a tragic one. This is actually in the same part of the world, believe it or not. So you have a teenager that's hunted down in the streets because of his Republican conservative beliefs. An 18-year-old, his future disappears. And yet Jamie Raskin comes out and says that we're fascist because we embrace political violence. Hey, Jamie Raskin, any comments on your Democrat follower murdering a teenager in North Dakota? By the way, for all of you listening in North Dakota, I'd love your thoughts. Is there chatter about this in North Dakota? I'm curious. I can't imagine the great people in North Dakota are going to put up with this. You can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Play cut 71.
Two of the hallmarks of a fascist political party are, one, they don't accept the results of elections that don't go their way, and two, they embrace political violence. And I think that's why President Biden was right to sound the alarm this week.
Yeah, political violence. Jesse Water continues his wonderful reporting. Play cut 50.
Court documents paint a different story, though. They say Ellingson called his mom twice while Brandt was chasing him down. And by the time his poor mother arrived at the scene to pick him up, it was too late. Brandt appeared in court on Monday where he was held on a $50,000 bond.
$50,000 bond. He gets released after executing a political murder. Play cut 51.
I have a job and a life and a house and things that I don't exactly want to see, you know, go by the wayside. Family that are very important to me.
This guy murders a teenager because of his political views. And he says, well, I don't want to see these things go by the wayside. Hey, pal, they're going to go by the wayside for quite some time because the people in North Dakota are the best people in America. I love them. They're not going to put up with this. It should be life in prison for the rest that you have breath in your lungs. You should be in prison for hunting down an 18-year-old, not for money, which would be awful, but because of a viewpoint. Lock them up and throw away the key. And so, yeah, they say, oh, we got to expand the FBI. We got to infiltrate the political dissident groups. I wonder, will any of the leading Democrats be asked about any of this disturbing trend of political violence happening across the country? And by the way, it's such a joke. It's such a mockery. And I'm trying to get other people in broadcasting and other people in the conservative movement to play offense on this issue of political violence. When I go to campus, by the way, we're going on tour, our Turning Point USA campus tour. When I go to UT Austin, or when I go to Florida State University, when I go to any one of these schools, it's abundantly clear. Everybody knows who commits the political violence. It's the left. When Candace Owens and I got driven out of a breakfast cafe, it's the left. And they are projecting it on us to try to keep on political power. That's why we have to make these national news stories. Antifa, BLM, someone emailed us, Stephen. He said, Charlie, only thing I've heard about the horrible murder was on the show before you. People were calling and complaining about the lack of coverage. Other than that, you're the only one I've heard say anything about it. Well, however you get news out in North Dakota, you guys have got to get the news out. How this is not the number one news story. Because here's the thing. If it was a black teenager that was hunted in the streets by a white person based on political views, there would be vigils, there would be prayer ceremonies, there would be people in the streets, churches would be closing down to be able to honor them, there would be cable news segments, there would be GoFundMes, BLM would be organizing, the white guilt would be mobilized, there would be riots in the streets, it'd be everything. Could you, if there was a 41-year-old MAGA hat-wearing Republican that, God forbid, illegally and immorally and in a sinister way hunted down a BLM activist, do you think you would have heard about it once or twice? Instead, this poor teenager's life is over. It's done. Someone did die. And Joe Biden's language then parroted, and then this judge just lets him out. The judge just lets him out completely. So, yeah, we could just release him. Jeff said he was an 18-year-old man. That's true. He is 18-year-old man. You're right. But I'm calling him a kid for a reason because he just graduated high school. I mean, give me a break. You guys could check out his GoFundMe. How long till GoFundMe shuts them down? They should use GiveSendGo. Stop using GoFundMe. Use GiveSendGo. It's premeditated murder. For those of you in North Dakota, I hope you start organizing and demanding from your leaders that political violence has no place in North Dakota. How often have we heard that? Political violence has no place. Political violence has no place. Let's take a few moments here, and I'd like to share my latest discovery with all of you. As I guarantee, this is the hottest super nutrient-packed new product to boost your brain and overall well-being on the market. First of all, a little bit of my own experience. As soon as I tried this product, I became a super fan and was just blown away with immediate results. This product was developed after long years of research by the most advanced brain chemist and formulator today. This magic is called Kala Genius. You've probably all heard about the superpowers of mushroom extracts and collagen. So guess what? The product I want to share is the most hyper-concentrated forms of the four best health-boosting mushrooms: lion's mane, chaga, cordyceps, and reishi, collagen, and Peruvian cacao. When you combine the cultivating powers of these four mushrooms I just mentioned with the various benefits of collagen, it is truly the most effective way to energize your brain and your body. Your brain and your body. It's genius, it's delicious, and yes, it is effective. Add it to your coffee or simply mix it with water. The smooth, chocolatey drink will definitely find a way into your routine. And the most important is it will fuel your brain and body with all-day energy without any jitters or crashes. So if you struggle with brain fog, have difficulty focusing, want to repair your brain in the most natural way, do not wait to check this product out. It is for sure the hottest mushroom and collagen product on the market, which you must try. It was just launched, but I believe it will be sold out soon. So do not wait and check it out on Nutopia.com/KirkGenius and use promo code Kirk10 during checkout to save 10%. And Nutopia, the company that makes Kala Genius, is so confident that you'll love this product and they offer 365-day money-back guarantee. Again, the special link is Nutopia.com/KirkGenius and use promo code Kirk10 during checkout to save 10%. Do it now and your brain will thank you. Again, that's Nutopia.com/KirkGenius. Use promo code Kirk10 during checkout. So check it out right now, Nutopia.com/KirkGenius. Promo code Kirk10 for 10% off any order. Kenny said, Charlie, the comments by many angry Democrats in the Radical Fargo Forum are unbelievable. Their response is, quote, you MAGA voters have no room to talk. You killed several police officers on January 6th. That is a lie. That is not true. The only murder that happened on January 6th is the murder of Ashley Babbitt. Email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. With us right now is Noel Frisch. Noel, welcome back to the program. I'm pretty fired up, Noel, about this incident in North Dakota. But let's put that aside for a second here. Noel, I want to ask you from nationalfile.com. Noel, I want to ask you, what's going on in Arizona? Is it true that Mitch McConnell is pulling out money behind a winnable race with Blake Masters?
Hey, Charlie, thanks for having me. Your show is so important. to really get a lot of the information out there to the grassroots so they know they have actionable information and they can take proper action and meaningful, effective action. Mitch McConnell has been playing footsie with this idea for over a month now. He announced it. They pulled it back. So what's happened here is he's taken about $10 million off the table that his outside spending organization, his PAC, one of his Senate arms, was going to spend to elect Blake Masters in Arizona over Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly being the, I call him Mrs. Gabby Giffords, the gun grabber. And it's really unfortunate. You've got a far left Democrat senator representing Arizona right now. You've got two, really, and we have a great opportunity to get rid of one. And Mitch McConnell suddenly goes AWOL just over a month ahead of this very, very, very pivotal election.
Yeah,
it's sad.
So, but there's a bunch of reasons I think this is happening. I don't think it's because of electability. Blake can win this race. Is it because of Blake's philosophy? Is it because Blake is a true conservative? Is that why Mitch McConnell is pulling his money out?
Yeah. So, Charlie, if you go back several cycles and just track where Mitch spends all of his money, in general, Mitch will spend money to just protect Republicans that he knows that he has under his thumb. And if there's a Republican that he feels that he might not control and have under his thumb, then he will hang that Republican out to dry. So whenever the RINO establishment comes along every election year, primary season, early in the even year, and tells you, hey, we've all got to be together and we need you. And no matter what, we've got to support the Republican going into the general. This is prima facie evidence that it's just not true. That's not how Republican establishment operators act or behave. They do not exercise solidarity like the Democrats do. They leave conservatives out to dry every single time.
Yeah, I mean, this is so frustrating on a variety of different levels. And, you know, people are asking me in Arizona, Charlie, why isn't Blake on TV? Part of it is because the super PACs that are supposed to be supporting him have pulled out. And so what do you think Blake should do at this point? Do you think Blake should just go scorched earth and say, I'm not going to vote for McConnell as leader and nationalize this and get the grassroots behind him? I mean, Arizona kind of has a free spirit. I'm no fan of cinema, but she's definitely popular. What do you think Blake should do at this point since McConnell said, have a nice day?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I mean, look, the best thing that I think Blake can do is just go run his race. Absolutely. Look, there needs to be a broad pressure campaign on Mitch McConnell to get back in this race from the grassroots all across the country. It's really important that we win all of these seats. And look, just focus on the opponent. Draw a distinction between, you know, a good guy like Blake Masters, family man, Christian guy, very invested in the community, in the future of the country, having civil society for the long term, as opposed to these far left commie Democrats like you've got with Mark Kelly. If I can, look, you've got a guy who is out there advocating for the confiscation of firearms and the building of all of the lists that would be required, of course, to make that happen, those lists of gun owners. Mark Kelly, it's interesting, his my outfit at National File back ahead of the election in 2020 published his yearbook, and it appears that he's dressed as Hitler. This is Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly. And now here you have a guy that, well, and by the way, Perkins Coie and Mark Kelly sued National File. We defeated them. We forced them to set aside their own lawsuit. Again, this is a lawsuit where he was claiming that he didn't dress as Hitler. And then Perkins Coie files a motion to dismiss the lawsuit where he claimed that he didn't dress as Hitler. So Arizonans have a lot of questions for this guy. They should be asking, especially concurrent with a guy who's going to be doing gun grabbing, a guy who's going to be elevating. What do fascists do? They elevate the state interplay between government and
private business
corporations that take power. And that's who this guy is. He's a fascist. Mark Kelly's a total fascist. He's got to go.
Yes. And so, you know, National File, you guys were able to do some of this investigative reporting that actually got Cunningham out of the race. This is all allegedly here. So your thoughts, you know, why is the media not looking into this, Noel? This seems like it could be a very big deal. They went through Brett Kavanaugh's yearbook. I mean, it seems pretty interesting to me if you're able to prove that allegedly Mark Kelly dressed as Hitler.
Exactly. And there's if you do some photo comparisons and show what the gentleman who was dressed as Hitler looks like next to Mark Kelly, Look, the audience has to be the judge and the voters have to be the judge. It's really interesting that you have a guy who very well could have dressed like Hitler now trying to confiscate weapons, right? And who else confiscates weapons before they're going to go do mass violence to people? Well, a guy called Adolf Hitler did that to a bunch of his political opponents. And you just have to look at this environment politically that we exist in. We have the state doing war against its political opponents. And that's who Mark Kelly is. You guys have Katie Hobbs running. She's calling all the Trump supporters neo-Nazis. Okay. Well, this is a woman who for over a decade now has been supporting codifying CRT, the racial hatred, the pro-homosexual, pro-gay agenda into schools since she was a state legislator back in 2011. That's who Katie Hobbs is. She's a far left Bolshevik. And Mark Kelly, so too, is these guys are just criminal, commie, fascist Bolsheviks who just want to do damage to this country.
So Noel, you know, we're looking at this and it seems like the Republican establishment is placing a bet where they want the Republican establishment to do okay. And some of these MAGA candidates, they're just leading out to dry. What can the grassroots of the country do to support and help with this?
Exactly. Look, it's vital that these Republicans get out and vote. As much as some folks out there might say, hey, you have to hold your nose for a couple of these candidates. Look, it's critical that you go vote for these Republicans in every state. It's critical that, look, maybe we can go to 2023 with a new Senate majority leader, God willing that we have the Senate majority there. But it's going to be tough with Mitch McConnell behaving like this. I think Charlie, probably a lot of your viewers know in their gut, in their heart of hearts, that a lot of the Rhino establishment Republicans are okay, A-okay, leading from behind in the minority, because behind closed doors, Mitch and Chuck Schumer are really good pals, and Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi are really good pals, and they're working on just power sharing to split up that almost $5 trillion federal budget, and that's really what it's all about. They don't care about the voters. They don't care about civil society. They just care about splitting up that budget.
It's extraordinary. Noel, thanks so much for joining us. Great commentary as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks. Everybody, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to make an addition. Just, you know, it was moving too fast, too many different things. Of course, Roseanne Boyland was also murdered on January 6th. And I don't actually think people say she died from a drug overdose. The evidence shows that I think she was beaten. And we really haven't done, I think, enough programming on that. But I want to make sure I mention that. And it's interesting how the media covers all that up. I want to play some sound here of what's happening on the border. What's happening on the border is extraordinary. And Governor Ron DeSantis is now being threatened by some sheriff on the border saying that he's human trafficking people. So let me get this straight. You have sheriffs that are going to say that we're going to investigate a sitting governor of Florida for human trafficking, but they don't actually go arrest the cartel members for actually human trafficking. This sheriff is Javier Salazar from Bexar County. You can just tell he's bought by the cartels. Super corrupt. Play cut 31, he says that DeSantis sent them against their will. That's not true. Play cut 31.
We are opening up a case with an investigation with regard to the suspected activities involving the 48 migrants from Venezuela.
So they're opening up a criminal case. How many times have I said on this program, why is it that Republican sheriffs across the country are not investigating Democrats? Are we doing that? Sheriffs have the ability to impanel a grand jury. But immediately, as soon as something happens in the news cycle that they don't like, as soon as something happens that bothers them, and it's Bexar County, they say they're going to criminally investigate a sitting governor of the United States, while some district attorney in Fulton County is investigating Donald Trump. The New York Attorney General just sued Donald Trump and his family for $200 million. When are Republicans going to start to punch back twice as hard, metaphorically, of course? Why are we allowing this to happen? Where are the Republican and conservative law enforcement officials, DAs, attorney generals, and sheriffs? Why are they not issuing subpoenas? I'll just give you one example. Let's just take one example. If you find the county, I'm just guessing here, the county where Jeffrey Epstein had his house in New Mexico. I would bet, I would imagine that where Jeffrey Epstein had his mansion in New Mexico, that's probably a Republican county with a Republican sheriff. Question, has that sheriff investigated Bill Clinton? Has that sheriff investigated all the different people that very well might have been trafficking young girls to rural New Mexico? That's how Democrats think. If there was even a whisper that a top Republican was trafficking young girls to an unforeseen location in a Democrat jurisdiction, they'd be investigated, indicted, and smeared immediately. Play cut 32.
What infuriates me the most about this case is that here we have 48 people that are already on hard times, right? They are here legally in our country at that point. They have every right to be where they are. And I believe that they were preyed upon. Somebody came from out of state, preyed upon these people to just be exploited and hoodwinked into making this trip to Florida and then onward to Martha's Vineyard for what I believe to be nothing more than political posturing to make a point.
Epstein knew what he was doing. It was in Santa Fe County, which, of course, is very, very liberal. The guy is Adan Mendoza. I was just thinking off the top of my head. I'm sure there's some jurisdiction of some crime that some Democrat committed. And when we talk about Arkansas all the time, we talk about any of these states where these people do these crimes. Why are Republicans not doing this? So now there's an active criminal investigation. You could laugh it off. No, it's a real thing. Do not be surprised when some weirdo sheriff on the border of the Mexican-U.S. border goes and tries to arrest a sitting governor in Florida. They're using force, and they laugh at us. Let's go to this report here of what's happening on the border. Bill Malusian, by the way, reports are coming out of the White House that they're very unhappy with Bill Malusian. Bill Malusian, who works for Fox News, does a fabulous job of reporting on the continual and repeated invasion of our country. Let's play cut 57.
According to Bill Malusian's reporting, there have been 900,000 so-called gotaways. And when you put all of the numbers together, Sandra, between fiscal year 21, fiscal year 22, where the trend is heading for the rest of this month and the gotaways, it's almost 5 million people have crossed that border illegally in the last two fiscal years.
5 million people. The Biden administration is saying that they do not like Bill Malusian or the fact the reporting on the border is happening. And none of the activist media cares about it because they are immune to the consequences. They just go to Martha's Vineyard. And don't you dare bring a Venezuelan to Martha's Vineyard. And so then one of the people that was in charge of relocating the illegals from Martha's Vineyard to the military base, they lied to them. They said, oh, you're going to dormitory. So now the 50 Venezuelans are on a military base, but not Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard remains white, remains wealthy, and gets them all off the island. I mean, the leadership of Martha's Vineyard went full Viktor Orban Hungary as soon as a Venezuelan shows up. How dare you come on our island? Deport them quickly. Here is the lesson. We should be able to deport every single illegal in every nook, every cranny across America. All we have to do is take a page off of the book of Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard wanted to protect their island. Okay, then why can't we deport every single illegal alien in our country? Every single one. And of course, the media says it's human smuggling, it's traffic, it's 50 people. How large is the humanitarian crisis? How significant is it? Play cut 53.
The Biden administration has helped human traffickers and smugglers relocate into the United States almost 300,000 unaccompanied minors. 300,000 minors. This is the largest human and child trafficking operation in world history. I dare anyone to find anywhere in the world that so many illegal immigrant children have been trafficked ever. And Biden is doing it using government resources, government planes, government workers.
And yet they accuse Ron DeSantis of human smuggling with an active criminal investigation for sending 50 people to Martha's Vineyard. I got to say this to the Republican Party and to most conservatives. Ron DeSantis, God bless you for what you're doing. But we are not prepared to fight the left right now. We're not. If we were prepared to fight the left, we would be actively investigating their lawmakers that are allowing this to happen. Actively investigating. Why not? Why can't we investigate them as DAs, as sheriffs, as AGs? That's what they're doing. They are going to use force at every turn. This goes to show how we've entered the final phase. We say the final phase is all they have left is handcuffs and leg irons, suppression, silencing, and force. So instead of debating us on immigration, they immediately go to force, immediately threaten this kind of movement of people to the island of Martha's Vineyard. How dare you do such a thing? And the question that we have to keep on asking ourselves is, why is Martha's Vineyard allowed to have borders, but the United States of America is not? Why is Martha's Vineyard allowed to deport people within hours, and we can't do that on the southern border? Is it because Martha's Vineyard has Larry David and Madonna on it, Barack Obama, and some other celebrities, and it's a pristine, lily-white island of white woke liberalism? Probably, actually. If you ever spend time around the white woke or the awfuls, the AWFLs, a white female liberal, you will learn these are the most miserable, broken. They are the most, they're very sick. They really are. I don't say that lightly. This whole episode shows how unhappy and how deeply miserable they are. They were given the very thing that they wanted. Migrants from Venezuela. They got them off the island super quick. Woo! They couldn't get those people away fast enough. Why does Martha's Vineyard, why are they allowed to have borders and our country can't? They want, their future is a future of Martha's Vineyard. They live on the island, they get their own rules, and the commoner, the mainland, suffers under their policies and their rule. But at least they're in charge, and they get to deport people they don't like. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.